Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the B1 Podcast with Matt and Tommy. We are here to review the Chinese Grand Prix, the first sprint weekend of the year. And if you hadn't seen already, we've done podcasts to basically cover the lot. If you haven't listened to those, then be sure to go and do that, because today we're talking about the race and the, I would say, solid sort of six and a half out of 10, maybe. There was some carnage. There was some interesting moments. Strategy was maybe lacking slightly, but overall, not the worst, but not a banger like I predicted.
Yeah, decent enough, I'd say. I think that is a kind of decent baseline for a race. The fact that we're not getting these one-stop races is much better, but I think we are just waiting for that worldie that we've kind of missed for quite a while now, but it certainly wasn't a bad race. There was plenty of things happening throughout, like, you know, Alonso at the end, and I guess a bit like Japan, really. It kept with the strategy element, kept things at least happening, even if it wasn't, you know, the battle for the lead we all want or absolute carnage elsewhere. There was at least something going on track throughout most of the race.
I probably wouldn't compare it to Japan. Japan was.
I wouldn't say as good as Japan, but similar
than this, where we had, you know, the odd standout person that might have gone for something a little bit different. Whereas we had, I would say, Japan was probably quite a bit better. But either or, let's dive into most memorable moments and start with mine and most people's most memorable moment, because it was Lance Stroll crashing, but behind the safety car and into the back of Daniel Ricciardo, sending him. In quite literally Red Bull being given wings in that particular moment. The rear diffuser getting absolutely munched by the front of that Aston Martin. And what do you even say? How does anybody defend Lance Stroll in this situation? Now, I will preface this and say it was chaotic, the concertina-ing effect. Alonso nearly went into the back of Sainz, I think it was, perhaps. But there were some close calls, for sure. But Lance Stroll, I've watched the onboard as well. I'm pretty sure he's looking at the apex when he's going into the corner.
He's
not concentrating on potential concertina-ing, and that is why he has yeeted Daniel Ricciardo. This was not a small impact. He has basically done a forklift truck maneuver with his front wing to lift that RB and ruin his race.
Yeah, I think that's the problem here, is that these things happen, you get concertinaed up, but it wasn't like Lance Stroll was right on the back of Daniel Ricciardo and it got too much, everyone hit the brakes and there was nothing he could do. It wasn't one of those situations where you're like, he's a passenger. He had a gap. I think that's the most frustrating thing to watch, and I imagine is what Ricciardo is frustrated about, because he has been very vocal about Lance's driving in the and how he should apologize and sort of like take responsibility, which he didn't seem to do and thinks it was just like an unfortunate incident. But he had a space to be able to hit the brakes and nothing would have happened. But the problem was he was looking at the apex, not the car in front, which behind a safety car, kind of got to be aware of what's going on. Not the best for Lance. And, you know, you can't have a, it's quite easy to be like, oh, it's just an unfortunate incident, but it's like, always seems to be happening to the same drivers, doesn't it?
That was my argument as well, is of all the drivers for it to happen to, it was Lance Stroll. And do we need to say more? Question from Oxider Brock. How much does Lawrence love his son that he's wasting tens of millions of dollars on him? I mean, I guess he's not technically wasting if he's paying his own son. It's kind of staying
to drive in Formula
One. Kind of staying in the family tree, isn't it, really, all of this value? But again, he's a billionaire, so even tens of millions of dollars, if he's trying to help his son's dream and the project is all around Lance Stroll, I don't think it really matters. That's unfortunately, it's like billionaires is, I guess, if you put it into, it's like us going and buying a meal deal for them, probably.
Well, it's like me taking Grace to ballet, but Lance Stroll takes his son to Formula One and drives in it because he can afford a team. That it's just, he is that rich. That is essentially the equivalent of just taking your child to a soft play, basically.
Yeah.
And he also had as much carnage as kids do at a soft play. But I don't think he's wasting it. He's not wasting his money because clearly it's his dream to do it. And, you know, his son is driving in Formula One. And we had this discussion yesterday of, oh, is it for Lance to win a championship? Is it what? Like, you know, if Stroll got a race win, for example, is that the kind of thing that's like, oh, we've achieved our dream or whatever? I don't think then he'd like obviously pull the plug as soon as he won, but it's kind of like, what's he waiting for in terms of like, when would he decide, no, enough's enough. We've lived this dream. Is it until Lance is 42 like Fernando? But the problem is, Lance isn't improving as a driver. That is the key thing. He's not improving as a driver. Yeah, he's getting worse.
Oh, dear. I love how we're already talking once again about Lance Stroll after off the back of, obviously, the Japanese Grand Prix, which was one of the worst races we've seen from him in quite some time. And then to follow it up with what happened in this race. Next question from P1 Patreon member Erin. Should race-ending accidents have a harsher penalty? Logan and Lance getting the same penalty feels disproportionate. Well, it all comes back down to the age-old saying that stewards do not take into account what happens after the breach of the racing regulations, i.e. what happens to the driver after the incident. And I think it does open up, if that was something to be implemented, I think I would open up a can of worms where it would potentially, cause a lot of chaos. So it is a penalty. It's unfortunate for Daniel Ricciardo, obviously, that he's ended up out of the race. But what do you expect? I mean, Tommy literally said in the Twitch watch along, race ban. Oh, no, it's a 10-second penalty. Like, is that what we're after here? Are we after a drive-through? It's pointless anyway. There's nothing. It looked like it would have changed his race anymore anyway. Or are we suggesting that he has a grid drop for the next race because he DNF'd somebody? I just think it would make things a lot more complicated, because how do you then measure how much you ruin someone's race? And what if someone is potentially running in fourth place, but they've not pitted, and then you yeet him out, and then you go, oh, but he was running in fourth place, but he hadn't stopped. And there's so many like small moving parts, I think, if you do it go that way.
Yeah, the 10-second penalty was absolutely justified to Lance. That's what they were going to give. And it was... What I don't understand, and I'll take this question in a different way, is that I put this on Twitter. Fernando Alonso got a three... it's the penalty points that Alonso got three penalty points for. It's an ambitious move. It was deserving of a penalty, even a Fernando Alonso fanboy could admit that.
Oh, you can now.
I can.
Oh, you've had some time to process.
But, or like some kind of punishment. But three penalty points for me is an outrageous crashing on purpose. We've seen it in the past, like, one penalty point should be for something very minor that's not your fault. 2 points maybe for a crash that could have been avoided or whatever. And then, three surely should be saved for big, big incidents or more. So how Fernando Alonso has got three penalty points for an attempted overtake, and yes, it was very ambitious and it didn't pay off, but he's trying to race someone. It's not malicious. And then Lance gets two penalty points for slamming into the back of someone. That is outrageous in my opinion, because I'm not even saying that Lance should get three penalty points because it was just an incident, and that is how it goes. And as for Logan, I do feel sorry for him because that penalty was incredibly minor. I think a bit like in the Friday where we had the Lando Norris incident, where we said that maybe they've used a bit more common sense. I know it shouldn't have been deleted in the first place, but they could see he didn't gain an advantage, and that's enough. I don't understand why the race stewards couldn't get on the phone to Williams and say, let him back through, because they were racing at very high speed and it was so marginal. It wasn't like Logan was like, oh, I could get Magnussen here. He's coming out the pits. You know, you're slowing it down to the millisecond and it's really close how far they are, and he's behind the line. So by the rule book, that is a penalty. But I feel like there should be some common sense again with this is the whole thing about you should be able to give the position back and things like that. They should be able to like sort it in a sensible way rather than just having a rule book that's like penalty.
I agree. I think that it was very silly, the Logan penalty. It was a few inches between him being ahead and being behind, and he couldn't judge in that matter. What was he supposed to do, slam on the brakes because he saw the car going towards the line? I don't understand. When you've got 2021, where you've got bargaining going on before Saudi about how things have, should we move around? Should we do this? Should we do that? And then the FIA are now like, we don't have any discussions. We give penalties and that's it. And I thought it was very unfair. Of course, Logan, you know, that probably would have demoted him from 17th to 17th. So disappointing for him. But with Lance, I completely agree. I think that Lance should still probably get two penalty points, but Alonso should have got one. And that's how that should work. Three is ridiculous for that sprint race little move that he was just being audacious. He pushed Carlos slightly wide and that was it. How is that three penalty points? Four of those moves and he gets banned. How is that even remotely
fair?
Yeah,
it's racing.
Like that's because then it doesn't promote racing at all, does it? So, yes, we shall move on now from Stroll, Sargeant and all that sort of stuff and go to your most memorable moment, Tommy.
My most memorable moment was Fernando Alonso's save out the final corner, which when the race was kind of winding down, boy, did that get me up off my seat. And it was such a shock. I did not see it coming at all. It was one of those moments that kind of like just makes you gasp, because nowadays in Formula One, when we see those slight mistakes from a driver or you put a wheel on the grass, these cars are so on a knife edge that one little error and you kind of dart off into the wall. And the fact that Alonso managed to save it was quite unbelievable. And it was really cool to watch him battle through the field, even if it was was because of, in my opinion, a pretty terrible strategy from Aston Martin. But it reminded me of the Chinese Grand Prix back in the day when you had drivers on ultra softs or whatever, when other people were trying to save their tyres and they were flying through the field and many, many seconds quicker. So that was quite a cool thing to watch at the end of the race. But the save was quite insane.
God, no surprise you're doing an Alonso most memorable moment. It was quite shocking, especially when we've seen Carlos Sainz literally bin it at that same corner in qualifying and go into the wall. Does that make Fernando Alonso better than Carlos Sainz? You can guarantee if that was Charles Leclerc versus Carlos Sainz comparison, it would be all over social media and the debate would be there. But Fernando, obviously 18-year-old, lots of potential, managed to save the car beautifully. Great for a rookie. It was shocking. And I love how he still didn't lose much time to Hamilton that he was trying to pass ahead and then managed to get through only a few corners later. So it was cool to see Fernando come through the field, and I'm glad that he didn't bin it. But now the next question is probably more of a talking point, which is from M. Lawrence. Can you explain Aston Martin's thinking with Alonso's strategy? I can to a degree, but also it didn't make much sense. Nico Rosberg.
It was a roll of the dice, wasn't it, I guess?
It was a roll of the dice.
A big roll of the dice.
Was it necessary? Had they seen something in the data that meant that they didn't believe they could hold the pace on the hard tyres, and therefore they went for something a bit more aggressive with the new set of softs that he had, and then he went on to a new set of mediums, I believe, with 12 laps to go.
Was it Alonso showing Stroll how you can easily get through the field on those tyres?
Yes, I'm sure that's exactly what Fernando is thinking at that point.
Well, this is what he's there for, isn't it? It's Stroll's team and Alonso's teaching him, so maybe it's just him, you know, getting some data for Lance to how to do it next time.
Oh, we're so silly, aren't we? But yes, I think that it was a questionable strategy. I don't think any other team doing that particular roll of the dice, but then Aston Martin are quite unique with the way they use them, go with their tyres. Like in qualifying, I think they like to have one, a lot of the time they do one cycle of a lap before they then do their qualifying. So yeah, they went for something different, and could he have finished any higher? It's yet to be seen.
Maybe.
I think perhaps, especially if we look at what he did in the sprint and how he managed to keep so many cars behind with the help of the tailwind as well, of course. I think with the benefit of hindsight, and also probably even in the position, like with 12 laps to go, are you really going to make up 25 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever it was? I don't know. But clearly they saw something in the data to suggest that they couldn't do what everyone else was doing.
Yeah, it was a very bold choice to say the least. Maybe it was just a bit of fun to try something different when you're essentially going to finish fifth or seventh. It's like, well, let's roll the dice and hope for a miracle and maybe get something amazing. But it definitely didn't happen. I mean, it was fun to watch Alonso at the end, but he was never going to make up that amount of time because where he was fighting Sainz, I believe, and he was ahead of Russell before all that chaos. And then he dropped right down. It was actually racing Ocon, wasn't he, at the end? And so he gained a huge amount of time, but it needed to be absolutely enormous and people's tyres go off a cliff, which we don't see anymore, really. Not to that extent. He obviously had a huge advantage, but not to the point where others were kind of thinking about pitting and going, oh no, Alonso's 3 seconds quicker, we better pit.
No.
Such an advantage on the track.
Because it was so late. It was so late in the day to pit for one final time, yeah. In my opinion. It felt like it was a day late and a dollar short, as Martin Brundle says. Because with 12 laps to go, you're not going to force any other team to pit at that stage to cover off Alonso, are you? So, yeah. Even though Ferrari did mention to Carlos, didn't he? They said, well, Alonso could well be behind us by the end, but he was nowhere near. So yeah. Maybe a small minor L from Aston Martin with that strategy. Next question, G-Sol's Racing. Is there an alternative strategy that could have possibly given Lando the race win? Or was this his absolute limit in the position he got? Sorry, what? What race were we watching here?
I thought that, but I thought we'd cover it.
Sure. I mean, we can dream. I can't see past Max Verstappen winning in every circumstance possible
ever.
Even his car breaking down, I think he still would have won on that last lap. There's no way.
Well, he did have a puncture.
Maybe.
A shocking puncture at the end where he gained a second and a half.
Yeah. he gave us a little bit of hope, didn't he, with the team radio saying that perhaps he needed to check his tyres, and we were like, oh, championship back on.
Did that not remind you of the days gone by of Sebastian Vettel leading and also Lewis Hamilton leading, where it's probably just a normal conversation that happens at the end of the race every single time, but F1 like picking out going, oh, this will make it look like he's got a problem. Because when Vettel and Hamilton were in their dominant era, it was always like the last lap and they're like, oh, engine's a bit funny, or oh, my tyres are going, or whatever. And it's nothing major, but they love to like play that radio at the end, don't they?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like sometimes there is that, but I think I don't think Max at the end of every race goes, I think I've run over debris. Can you check the tires, please?
No, but they know what they're doing when they pick that up, don't they?
We would as well if we were in charge. We'd be like, play the clip now. Yeah. You know, especially Max at the start of the race or before the start of the race, saying that there was drizzles. I'm like, bro, where was these drizzles, honestly?
And there's not a question about it, and I do wish we were in charge, because my God, some of the coverage was shocking again.
Go on, pop off.
Where's the mini box for these incidents? Anyone? I think there was one moment where Carlos had a great run on Russell into a corner that's overtaken. We cut to Hamilton's pit stop. It's like, even though he didn't make the move, like, I want to see it happening. We need live action, not replays and constant bits of the pit stop. It's just like, please, can we just have someone doing it that knows how a Formula One race goes?
What do you mean though, Tommy? Hamilton was pitting from 17th for an undercut. Like, you never know how that could have changed the complexion of the race.
So irritating,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, God, but... yeah. Go on, give me more early morning, Tommy. God, I love it. But yeah, I don't think they were horrendous. I don't think there was too much bad with the TV direction. There was a few replays that were thrown when I think Piastri was getting passed by Alonso was another moment there where we did genuinely miss that one. So that was a bit annoying. But yeah, they still are very much set in their ways of lap three replays and all that sort of stuff still, aren't they? As far as...
And they did in the sprint as well,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, because that's even better, right? You know, with 19 laps, we definitely need a reminder of what's just happened. And by the time we finish the replays, it's the end of the race.
Yeah, I know, it's stupid. But back to the actual Lando question, the alternative strategy was the strategy he did, which was him able for him to beat Perez and the Ferraris, not Max.
And he gained time by pitting under the virtual safety car.
We got that. We did get that lovely graphic that said, you know, he would have finished third potentially without with doing the normal two-stop. So they did do an alternate strategy, but you need a minor miracle to beat Max Verstappen nowadays.
No, a major miracle. You said minor.
I say minor miracle. Yeah, it's major. It is brake fire.
Once in a lifetime.
And then, yeah, brake fire and his brakes on locked on, and then he's still racing you in your DRS.
Just see like the second place and fire, and he's like, "Why? How is Max still with me?" Next question: Lena_C_Red. There seem to be slow calls made for virtual safety car, and red flag conditions at different races. Who makes the call at each Grand Prix? Is it different people or always the same team? It's a good question, actually. I know that the stewards vary, but I imagine that the FIA, I mean, do they rotate, Tommy?
Surely, no, because the race director doesn't rotate now, I don't believe. But, I mean, with this, I did think the very same, that when we watched, we cut to the shot of Bottas climbing out his car, and while that angle maybe was a little bit, made it look worse than it was, I don't understand why you can't just... like why it took that long to call a safety car. It was going to be a safety car all day long, even before we knew that the car was stuck and was a struggle to move. So, yeah, it's a shame. Like, it made me almost feel like they saw that shot themselves and then were like, oh, yeah, we should call this. Like, why wasn't it done earlier? I don't know.
It was strange because I feel like we've had this conversation 1,000 times. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that what do they believe that throwing a yellow flag is a neutralization? Because I don't. Surely that is what VSC is quite literally there to neutralize a Formula One race. And
you're
see
given
Bottas,
that in your armory to use it.
Yeah, and you can see Bottas clambering out the car, literally stood on the runoff. Of course, the camera angle made it look a lot closer than it actually was. But at the same time, there is a person on the track, not far away from, as you said in the Twitch stream, Tommy, if someone has a brake failure, whatever it might be, just throw the VSC. It doesn't change anything. Everybody goes down to the same speed. It's not like someone will benefit massively or benefit not if you throw it. Of course, it might be a pistol.
And also, who cares if they do? That's what annoys me now, is this whole like, oh, we've got to make sure it's absolutely fair. Like, no wonder there's no jeopardy at the moment if we're like going like, oh, it's got to be neutralized and everyone's got to stay in exactly the same position. It should be like, we watch Formula One for a bit of unpredictability and stuff, so like why are they so desperate to keep it exactly as it is and make sure they don't affect the race? Like, I think maybe it's the paranoia of the social medias these days and stuff, and upsetting certain things, you know. It's something that they've talked about referees in football and stuff, having that thing, and there's so much pressure on them now. But it goes one way sometimes in your favor and sometimes it goes against you, and it's just the way it is, and they just need to sort of like be forceful like Charlie Whiting used to do and just make a call and just be like, this is what needs to be done, I'm making it.
Yep. But apparently that's too difficult. Even I mean, Charlie Whiting didn't even have access to VSCs, did he, back in his day? And yet managed to run the whole sport pretty damn well. So, yes, I don't know why. Press the VSC button a little bit quicker and then decide what you want to do, not the other way around.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Savannah Kung, after the brilliant fights in the midfield, should F1 consider giving points down to P12? Well, they are. They are considering it. This is a conversation that is going to be had to introduce points all the way down to 12th. How that will be spread, I'm not entirely sure. But it's a good thing to think about for sure, especially with how we have Formula A and Formula B quite literally now. And apparently Hülkenberg just says no thanks to that and scores points most races at the moment. But yeah, Crofty was arguing, why don't we have points down to 20th? I don't really agree with that. I think that points should still feel special to some degree. Everyone can't be fighting for points at all times. It just, for me, maybe it's just the old...
Yeah, in what world does Stroll and Magnussen deserve points after that race?
Yeah, and I don't think you should be given points just for finishing a race. That's just not the way that Formula One has ever worked, so why should it work like that now? But opening up a bit more opportunity for the lower teams to score a point, I'm not against at all. So, yeah, down to P12 sounds good.
Yeah, P12 is absolutely perfect because it's essentially an extra couple of positions to play for. When we have those top five teams, you know, normally it's just one place when Stroll's not there, but we have like the other two now, and it can change things quite a lot. And it gives them something to race for. The sport has changed so much since you gave the top 10 positions. It's been years and years and years and years. You know, it used to be the top six, but then genuinely like cars used to break down all the time, and it would be an absolute miracle if you managed to go through an entire season without four or five DNFs, whereas now you have five DNFs a season and you're having a shocker of a year, basically. So they need, with the cars so reliable as they are and the pecking order being those top teams that just lock out the positions all the time, let's have that fight for 12th. It makes absolute sense. We mentioned it, I think, after back end of last year, and it wasn't just because Yuki was finishing 11th every race, I promise. But
now I know why you're a fan of it. It all makes sense.
No, but they deserve to fight for some points, and it would make F1 better, in my opinion. So
you're all for it. Yeah, let's see. I imagine what they might just. I don't think they'd change the top points, would they? And they'd just spread it a bit more down towards the bottom.
Yeah, which I think is also a good idea because, I think that's absolutely fine to do that way. You don't want to give like 28 points.
No.
For Verstappen every race.
No, we don't need any. No.
Because he'll win the championship by even more. So.
Yeah, that's very true. Perhaps, you know, we do 25 for the win, then 24 for second, 23 for third. And then it'll be championship on if Verstappen has.
Well, it's funny because they literally did that with Michael Schumacher when it was 10-6, and then Schumacher was dominating, and it was like, no, it's 10-8 now.
And it didn't change much, did it?
No.
Next question, P1 Patreon member Nicola. Not necessarily about the race, but what is it with the theatrics these days? Giving Zhou his own parking spot, all the shots looking like he won the race. Maybe I'm getting old, but it's giving participation award. Now, this is not going to go down well because a lot of people liked the ending for Zhou, and it was an incredibly heartwarming, great feeling. Of the Chinese fans were so supportive of Zhou, no matter what he was doing. He was passing Logan Sargeant, and they were celebrating like he'd just won the world championship. And that support is amazing to see. Of course, he's the first Chinese driver to race, and so they have celebrated it. It was kind of out of nowhere, I will admit. And I was kind of like, oh, we're giving him a spot now. Is this something that's now going to happen for all home races? But F1 have clearly seen this as a unique occasion. And yeah, it was cute. Like how Zhou was crying and you could see how much it meant to him. And yeah, some people thought it was, as Nicola suggested, some kind of participation award. And apparently if you joke about these things, you get cooked on Twitter. So yeah, it's...
no, never, surely.
No, surely not. But no, it was a really heartwarming thing to watch. And maybe this is Zhou's last season as well. So perhaps he did deserve it. But it did make me think, why don't we have these kind of things and celebrate drivers at their home races? Because they have the national anthem at the start where they stand. And I'm thinking, okay, we're now going to get a wave from every home driver at the end of the race as well. I don't know.
Well, they do. I think a few times they've had the driver stand at the front. I don't actually know what they did in this one because I think I maybe missed it. But they sometimes have like the driver that's at their home race stand, you know, near the front, and it is a unique situation that Zhou, you know, is the first Chinese driver in the sport. We've returned to China after so long of it being away, and for, you know, difficult circumstances there, so it is nice. But in my opinion, and that it maybe takes away something if he had scored a point or something, for example. And he deserves the praise, the plaudits. He drove decent enough, but like, it's not, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like necessary to have that when he's getting cheered every single lap anyway. And that's amazing to see. Like, I absolutely loved seeing that because the crowd are cheering and they're supporting him, and he's on the grid and he's waving and the crowd are going crazy. And even after the race, you know, he can have that moment with the crowd because they stick around like they do in Japan with Yuki Tsunoda or whatever, and he can go, yeah, I've got a point or whatever. But I don't know, maybe I think the parking space maybe makes it a little bit unnecessary. Because, you know, maybe it's more the fact that we need all the cars parking in the pits at the end or something, so the crowd get a better view of all the drivers when they finish the race. So Zhou can stand up on his car, wave to the crowd, we get a big cheer, rather than
everyone on the grid
picking him out. On the grid, sorry.
Yeah, you said in the pits. The grid. I was like, how are they getting a better view from there?
Sorry. On the grid, they maybe get a better view on the grid. So maybe that's the solution to it. But for someone to have their own special spot, I don't know. It just doesn't... It maybe takes away from more... The narrative is already there of what an amazing thing it is that Zhou is racing in China. The pictures of him as a kid is absolutely awesome, of him waving the flag in the stand, and it's a really cool thing to see, but you don't need to go that far with it, in my opinion.
Right, let's move now to crowning our biggest winner, driver or team. Yeah, let's think about this one. I think Lando Norris is a very, very strong shout for biggest winner, despite everyone saying that he is overrated and all that sort of stuff after the sprint.
Bottled
this, bottled that. He's had 7 P2s in the last 18 races, and yet people have the audacity to say that he is overrated or not a great driver. It's absolutely ridiculous to me. Without Verstappen, he'd potentially be a...
Can't believe he's not beating Max Verstappen, who's won basically every race for the last 3 years.
Yeah, Lando even said after the race this time that him finishing P2 behind Verstappen feels like a win. And that's exactly how he should feel, probably. So, yeah, I think Lando is a massive shout for that. Hulkenberg is an honourable mention, I would say, but I'm going to lock in Lando.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Lando. It's a really good performance from, you know, what happened in the sprint. And yeah, for him to beat a Red Bull, I thought it was absolutely, and it should have been nailed on for a Red Bull 1-2 with the advantage that we saw in the sprint and how much Max could pull away. So for Lando to execute that strategy on a track that I don't think hugely suited the McLarens. It obviously wasn't terrible for them, but you know, Piastri is a minute off the lead in eighth. So I think that is more like Lando outperforming the car somewhat. So yeah, it's really impressive.
Biggest loser? I think Lance Stroll might win this one by quite a margin. RB, I think, definitely deserve a shout as well for both double DNF for them. But they had... Danny Ric had reasonable pace, but I think it has to be Lance Stroll for me.
For me, I'm going to throw a rogue one in, but I think it actually makes a lot of sense, is Kick Sauber. Because I think the pace they had for them to leave with an even bigger deficit to Haas is quite shocking, really. Yeah. Because I think Bottas in particular, it wasn't obviously Bottas's fault because his car broke down, but the pace Bottas had all weekend, I think they absolutely, a point was there to be had. And for them to not score a single point from this weekend and Haas to pull away further, it's pretty shocking for them, I think.
Fantastic shout, Tommy. I think that it is a shame because Bottas, I firmly believe, would have probably finished 10th and beaten Hulkenberg.
Yeah, he's definitely
he was
fighting
right
Hulk.
There, about a second and a half behind Hulk, I think, at the time of when he DNF'd. So big shame for Bottas. And you do wonder, when is the next time Kick Sauber are going to be any good again?
Finally did a decent pit stop for him as well, and then the car broke down.
I know, 3 seconds or whatever it was, which is wild. But let's now reflect on how we did with our predictions, which we made earlier on in the week. It is 11-10 to Tommy at the moment. Oh, God, I was so good and happy with this after the sprint. Biggest good surprise, Lewis Hamilton. Now, hear me out. Doubled his points tally. That is biggest good, surprisingly good. Like, imagine the scenes.
Sprints are so difficult to judge, aren't they? When someone does so well in the sprint and is so terrible in the race.
Yeah. I think that, he's got a lot of points.
Because it is polar opposite, really, in terms of sprint. And
yeah, because sprint, 100% yeah, scored points. Slam dunk. It's a biggest good surprise. I'm going to say half a point. What do we think?
I think we have to open this one up to the fans again.
I think we just accept half a point and move on.
Half points,
because
we're back on the half point.
I feel
point
as though half a point is fair when it's a sprint, and Hamilton was so good in the sprint that I feel as though that could be a way of figuring out... that kind of thing when it comes to my points.
We'll accept
yours.
It for now. We'll see at the end of the season.
If this half a point changes everything, then we might have to reflect on it. But I'm not going to allow any reflection of this. So it's locked in. Thank you very much. What's yours?
Mine is Alpine. I went for biggest good surprise, and they finished 11th and 13th, which is basically their best finish of the year.
Mm. But they didn't score any points.
They did very well. No, but no one's scoring points really in that bunch.
Yeah. What are you going for a point now? Are you?
I think it's definitely half.
Oh, okay. You said that was so much. It's definitely half.
I'm trying to convince myself it's half. 11th and 13th for Alpine is actually they were. Ocon was 2 seconds off a point.
He was.
And I thought they'd be. Abysmal. So,
I'll allow half a point.
Yes, half a
I'll
point.
I'll allow half a point. Wow, look at us. Hey, in agreement. That means you can't come back to my Hamilton half a point now because I've given you half.
Okay.
Biggest Fine. Flop.
Oh, for God's sake.
I went for Yuki Tsunoda. Oh, my goodness me. He's had such an amazing season. And then I got the bad juju vibes. And here we are. He... had the worst weekend I can remember for quite some time for Yuki.
Yeah, it went so bad for him that he actually managed to be bad in the sprint, where you can argue that he was a flop. So, and then to get taken out the race as well is like normally the other kind of flop. So he kind of double flop.
And he got double out qualified by Danny Ric, which hadn't happened at all this year so far. I think that's 5 points.
Yeah. Just changing the rules. Yeah, it's a good one. Well done.
Sorry, mate.
I went for Oscar Piastri, which I think is borderline floppy because he has finished. No, I think it's more. I think it is definitely a flop.
43 seconds.
Finished 43 seconds behind Lando.
Let's not forget that.
I know, but
he was quite
well.
Slow
you can argue
then,
that that is floppy to get eaten as well. And yeah, he's finished eighth when his teammates finished second.
Yeah, I think that's I'm locking that in. Yeah, you can have the point. Well done. Hope you're happy. Sprint shootout. I went for Charles Leclerc. That didn't happen. Ferrari, where
went
was
for Carlos Sainz? Didn't happen
this weekend. No points for the sprint shootout predictions. Sprint winner, I went for Max Verstappen. Correct. Give me that point. Thank you.
And I went for someone else not to win, so it's 0 points. I went for Carlos.
And then pole position, I went for Max Verstappen.
I went for Max Verstappen as well.
So points there. Love that. And then our top three. In third place, I went for Perez. Give me another point.
Damn it, I went for Leclerc, and he wasn't so washed. Kept P3.
Very washed. And then second, I went for Leclerc, which did not happen.
I went for Sainz,
which did not happen either. And then Max Verstappen, I went for the win, and we both got a point for that.
Easiest point.
Well done. And then our one crazy...
Can I throw something into the mix?
Go on.
Because we gave half a point each to ourselves for biggest good surprise, just for I know people thought this in 2021 as well. For my OCD, can we just get rid of the half point so it looks nicer? I just have one. We'll just take one.
Okay,
each.
Fine. Good.
So that has.
Oh, we haven't finished yet, bro.
You
one crazy
into
prediction.
The lead. Oh, sorry.
Jeez,
yeah,
spoiler alert. I mean,
I forgot. In my head, they were the fan ones.
I know
ones,
neither of us have actually scored, but let's go through it first. I went for it will be a banger, and everyone realizes China is underrated. But what about
not
what
enough
about
of a
sprint?
Banger? No.
What about the sprint? Was pretty good. Half a point, which makes
though.
1 point. Thank you very much. Okay, 0 points. Fine. It wasn't a banger. And you went for.
And I backed Lance Stroll, which of course means 0 points. I went for him making Q3, which he couldn't.
Yeah, I love how you literally tried
Hamilton
to
was out.
Get through the loophole that you originally wanted to say got out of Q1, which would have been absolutely wild if I'd allowed that through.
Yeah.
So yeah, 0 points for both of us on that. And then finally, the three crazy predictions from you, a wonderful lot. First and foremost, it was P1 Patreon member Scones Text. Logan finishes ahead of Alex. Nope. P1 Patreon member Katie Ocon gets points. Very close, but no. And P1 Patreon member Lord of Admirals. All drivers finished the race. That was also a big fat nope. So overall, Tommy, what are the scores on the doors?
I believe you have now taken the lead
come on.
Just by 1 point. So it's 15-16 now.
Let's go.
16 to you, 15 to me. So yeah, we're doing good at this close championship.
2 point swing. Biggest flop 5 from 5 at the moment. Who will receive the curse in Miami? We'll have to wait and see. Tommy, we are done. What are your final thoughts, please, sir?
My final thoughts are that I am thinking of final thoughts. that. It's another sprint in Miami, which I find a bit weird actually to go double sprint. Not sure I'm a fan. Because I did like the sprints being a bit novel occasionally when there's like a nice gap, but to do back-to-back sprints in my opinion is a bit weird.
Back-to-back strips is a
brain,
very different.
My brain's just gone. Final thoughts now. Switch off.
However, it's weird that you say that you're not a fan of sprints when you only get one practice session. So I'll remind you of that, and then all of a sudden you're back on board with sprints.
I like the old format. Bring back the 2021 format.
There we get the one where everything counted towards one thing. That's what you were... enjoyed the most. Maybe they will. We'll see. We'll be doing our F1 to 10 driver ratings, which will be coming very soon, as you always come to expect. And thank you so much to everybody for watching on Twitch, Map You on Tommy, and everywhere else that you've been supporting us recently. And we're off to Abu Dhabi this evening to do a special video, which will be coming out actually by the end of the week. So look forward to that. And also, we're going to Formula E Monaco. So we've got a busy week ahead, but lots of stuff will be going on our social media. So look out for that. And we'll see you very soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.